Is daf pay. So we got four lines down. The Gemara I've been discussing the din of having to lift up the fragbah for the purposes of shitu mevav. So you bring lift up a tefach off the ground. So Gemara says now four lines down on daf pay meisive. Ketzav shatim b'mavoy. How does one perform the din of mavoy shitu mevavos? Mevin chavis shel yain v'shel shemen v'shel tamar v'shel grogros v'shel shar minei peres. You bring a bucket, a barrel of any food, anything edible. Im mishalo tzarach lezakos. If it's going to be from your own food, so then you have to mezakah to everybody else in the mavoy. Vim mishalahen. If you're collecting food from everyone else, all you have to do is tzarach liyodi. You have to just let them know, but there is no need for being mezakah because you're using their food. So you have to just be aware that they're part of this. Umagbia minakarka mashu, and the Brisa says, which is the question, all you have to do is lift up the chavis when you be mezake for the other people, the other bnei mavoi. All you have to do is lift up the chavis a mashu, and sounds like a mashu, not a tefach. And the Gemara says, no, my mashu nami the kamar tefach. When the Brisa says you have to lift it up a mashu, in einach nami it refers to lifting it a tefach off the ground. So Gemara now records a machlokis here itmar shitufa mavos rav amar ein. He argues with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that Shitu Mevos requires being Mezakeh to the Bnei Mavoi. So Rav says it not. And Shmuel says Amar Tzarech Lezakos in accordance with our Mishnah. So that's all by Shitufi Mevos. With respect to Eruv Tchumim, Rav Amar Tzarech Lezakos, Ushmuel Amar Ein Tzarech Lezakos. So we haven't found this din by the Mishnah in the Tchumim. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says Hacha Lo Tanan. Actually, do the first one. Hacha Tanan. Second narrow line down. That's the same category. It says in the Mishnah we just saw yesterday that you have to be mezakeh lehen, as opposed to the next Rashi, hachalotanan, by eruvei techumim katani lekaman, keta meshatim techumim, v'lo katani v'mezakeh lehen. We have no din of being mezakeh regarding eruv techumim. So Shmuel is consistent with Mishnayos that by eruv chatzeros and shitu mevos you require being mezakeh, but you don't require by eruv techumim. So the Gemara again says, so that's Shmuel, but Rav says the opposite. Rav says Shitu Mevos does not require Lezakos, while Erev Tchumim does require Lezakos. The Gemara says, again, read that one more time inside. Itmar, Shitu Mevos, Rav Amar, Ein Tzarech Lezakos, Shmuel Amar, Tzarech Lezakos, Eruvei Tchumim, Rav Amar, Tzarech Lezakos, and Shmuel Amar, Ein Tzarech Lezakos. So Bishmai, understand the Shitu L'Shmuel, Hochatran, here, by Shituvim Mavos and Erev Chatzeres, you have to, it's listed in the mission, you must be Mezakeh, V'hocha, by Erev Tchumim, Lo Tanan. So Shmuel makes a lot of sense, he's very, very much consistent with the Mishnah. El L'Rav, my time, how come Rav says the complete opposite with what the Mishnah says, by both Erev Tchum and Erev Chatzeres? So the Gemara says, it's really a Tanahi. Dam Rav Yehu, Dam Rav, Maisa B'Kalasa Shel Rebbe Oshaya. So the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Yeshaya, Shehalach al-Beis HaMerchatz, she went to the bathhouse Erev Shabbos, V'choshkala, and as dark started to set in, V'irvala Chamosa, and her mother-in-law on her behalf made an Erev Tchum, because apparently the Beis HaMerchatz was outside the Tchum. Had she been there when Shabbos started, she'd be stuck there for all of Shabbos. So her mother-in-law did a tov of her. An interesting point, parenthetically, Rav Yaakov Emden points out here, even though we find many places in Shas, how the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law did not get along, and there's some halachas that are applicable to that. And one of them is that a daughter-in-law could prevent her own mother-in-law from living in the same chater as her. You need the proper space. We do have some times where they actually do get along, like this Gemara here. So it's interesting, he talks about relationships, but this is a relationship where the mother-in-law tried helping out the daughter-in-law. So she tried helping out. So the Gemara says, again, the irvala chamosa, ubamaisa lefnei rabbi chia va'asar. So Rabbi Chiya said, this is awesome, this doesn't work. We have to figure out why it doesn't work in just a moment. Amar lo Rabbi Yishmal, Rabbi Yossi, Bavlai, he was from Bavel. Ko kach atamachmer be'eruvin, kach amar abba, ko sheesh lo hakel be'eruvin hakel. Anytime you have an opportunity to be makel, we should be makel, by all halachas of eruvin. Like most eruvin, you know, the string eruv that we have around the city, which is not really an eruv, but it's the mechitzah is going around, every city has a kula. It's impossible to have an eruv that does not use one or two or more kulas. So we always use kulas to make eruvim, whether it's building the mechitzahs, whether it's making the eruv tchum, eruv chatzeros. So how come here you're so machmi, you don't let it happen? So this machlokus we'll see is the machlokus between Shmuel and Rav in just a moment about whether or not there was a need for the mother to be mezakeh for her or not. So I'll tell you the punchline, but the Gemara is going to go through. The punchline is that the mother-in-law was not mezakeh for the daughter-in-law. So had she been mezakeh for the daughter-in-law, it would have worked by Erev Tchum. But she wasn't mezakeh. So you see that the two Tanaim here arguing whether it worked or it didn't work. The one who says it's aser, the Erev Tchum doesn't work, because you weren't mezakefer, that's like the shita of Shmuel. Rather, Rav, that you need being mezakef for Erev Tchumim, that you don't need it, sorry. The Shmuel says you don't need it for Erev Tchumim. And the one who says that you it's aser is like Rav, who says you do require it. So this machlokas tanaim is really also the machlokas amarayim. So what was exactly, now we're going to figure out what was wrong.
The both agree that the case is that she wasn't mezakehim.
No, we're going to go through, I gave you the punchline. The Gemara is going to go through this right now. But that was a punchline. So the Gemara now wants to know, what was the issue? Why did it not work? So, Ibarilahu, Mishal Chamosa, Irvala, Umishum Delo Zichtala. Is that why it didn't work? Because the Chamosa, the mother, used her own food, and she just forgot to be mezakeh, or she didn't know the lach to be mezakeh. Is that why some say it didn't work? Odilma, Mishala Irvala, Umishum Deshila Midaita. Or maybe she took the daughter-in-law's food, but she didn't ask her permission. It was some form of gzela, or just the hakpada didn't work. So what was the issue here? Was it because there's no zikoy, or because there's no das here? So Amar Lahen, Hahum Mirabanan, Rabbi Yaakov Shimei. So a certain Tamil Chacham, Rabbi Yaakov was his name. He explained, the Didi Mefar Shali was explained to me, Minad Rabbi Yochran, Mishal Chamosa Irva, Umishim Delo Zichtala. The mother-in-law used her own food, but she wasn't being mezakeh. So that's the question: can one be create an erev tchum without being mezakeh to someone else or not? So this debate, whether this ma'aseh worked, is what the debate between Rav and Shmuel. So we see it is a machlokas tonight. Furthering, showing that this was the nekudas machlokas, the Gemara says with the last narrow line down: Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Yaakov berei debas Yaakov. So it's interesting here we refer to Rabbi Yaakov as the son of the daughter of Yaakov. Why are we invoking the son of the daughter here? So there's an interesting discussion. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says in the middle of the narrow lines down, Brei de Bas Yaakov, we all rarely refer to the mother when describing a person's yichus, Aviv lo haya hagun, lefichach lo hiskir. Apparently the father was not a good guy, so we want to try to take him out of the equation here, so we're referencing the mother instead. That's what Rashi says. The Gaonim say that, no, the father was a wonderful person, but the mother was even greater than the father, so we're giving some yichus to the mother as well. So that's just an interesting debate, historically, who exactly Rabbi Yaakov Brei Debas Yaakov was. But either way, Rabbi Zeris told Rabbi Yaakov Brei Debas Yaakov ki matas hasam, when you get to Bavel, Akif Vizil Lasulma Ditsur, go to a certain area of Bavel, it's a certain location, and Ubay Mine Mir Yaakov Bar Idi, ask this question to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, the three Yaakovs are talking over here. Bay Mine, ask him, this particular Maisa, what happened in the Maisa? What was the detail? Was it Mishel Chamosa Irva, Mushim Dilo Zichtala? The reason why some say that the Erev Tchum didn't work because the mother-in-law used her own money and wasn't mizaka to the daughter-in-law. Odilma Mishala Irva, maybe she was using the money of the daughter-in-law. However, Mishim Dila Shlomidaita, she didn't ask permission for doing so. And Amalei, Mishal Chamosa Irva La, who Mishim Dila Zichtala. So this particular Maisa was about not being mizaka. So whether it worked or whether it didn't work, that's a machlokas tonight, which again goes also to the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Yeah, you have to be mezakeh. You have to lift it. You send the mishnah. Yes, you have to pick it up and say, "I'm being mezakeh for the door. I'm being mezakeh for the b'nei mavoi." But you have to be again. You have to lift it up, do a hagba, give it to someone else to be mezakeh on behalf of the door. Otherwise, it wouldn't work.
You have to give
this
like your son.
Yeah, that's mezakeh. That was yesterday's daf discussing how it works. So whatever you needed, whatever details are needed to give it to someone else to do the hagba, that was not in place. So Gemara then says four wide lines down. Amar of Nachman Naktinan Echad Eruve Tchum, the Echad Eruve Chatseros, Echad Shitufa Mavos Tzarech Lezakos. These three areas, Erev Tchum, Erev Chatseros, and Shitufa Mavos, all require being mezakeh on behalf of the Bnei Mavoi, on behalf of the Bnei Chatser. However, by Rav Nachman, he asked the question: what about Eruve Tafshilin Tzarech Lezakos? We haven't seen much about Eruv Tafshilin. We've been talking a lot about Eruvim throughout the Masechta, but not much about Eruv Tafshilin. What about that? If you're being mezakeh for other people in your house to be able to do work from Yontif to prepare Yontif for Shabbos, do you have to be mezakeh to everyone else? Oh, ain't Tzarech Lezakos, so perhaps one doesn't need to. What's the suffix? So the Shiltos explains that the suffix is because there's something unique by Erev Tafshilin, that while the other Erev Tchumim, you need to make sure everyone has a certain shir. Where we're making an Erev Tchum, let's say, or an Erev Chatzeros, there has to be a certain shir that each person has, a grogros. We'll see in the Amud Beis what exactly the shir is. But Erev Tafshilin, there's no need for a shir for every single person. I can have a shir of a Kazayas, and or kibeta, and that could work for 50 people. There's no need to break up the shir per person, so there is a certain cool involved by Erev Tavshilin. So although all the other Eruvim require being mizaka, maybe Erev Tavshilin does not require being mizaka. So what's the answer by Erev Tavshilin? So Amar Rav Yosef, Umay Tibayla, what was the shayla? Lo Shmilei Ha, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Ada, Amar Shmuel, do you not hear the statement in the name of Shmuel? Eruvei Tavshilin, Tzarech Lezakos, that you do have to do be mizaka even for Erev Tavshilin. So Amale Abai says, Pshita de lo Shmilei. It's obvious that he didn't hear this statement, because di Shmilei my tibayle. Had he known it, he would not have raised the question. So obviously he did not know this, that's why he's asking the question. So Amale Atu Eruve Tchumim Milo Amar Shmuel Ein Tzarech Lezakos, V'Amar Ihu Tzarech Lezakos. So by Erev Tchum we have a machlokas. So what do you mean? Maybe he heard of the discussion by Erev Tavshilin. Meaning just like there's a machlokas by Erev Tchum, maybe there's a machlokas by Erev Tavshilin as well. So it's not that he didn't hear it. Maybe he's just asking, how do we paskin? So the Gemara says, Hachi Ashta. Bishma, I understand by Erev Tchumim, Hasam Pligi Rav Shmuel. We have a mefurish statement that Rav and Shmuel argue by Erev Tchumim, whether you have to be mezaka or not be mezaka. The Kamash Shmuelam, we learn, Kechumim Demar, Uki Chumim Demar. We paskin both the Chumra. That both by Erev Tchum and Erev Chatzeres were machmir requiring being mezaka. About Hacha here, by Erev Tavshilin, Iisa de Shmuel, had he heard of the statement of Shmuel, Meika deman de Balag, we don't have any recording of anyone arguing on the statement by Erev Tavshilin. All we have is Shmuel says, Ein Tzarech Lezakos, you don't need to be mezaka. We have no such statement by Rab. So clearly, had he heard of the statement, he would not have had asked the question because there's no machlokas. There's only one nesora, one shita, which is Ein Tzarech Lezakos. So clearly, he didn't hear, and now you're telling him that the din is Erev Tavshilin does not require being mezaka. Even though the Gemara sounds like you won't have to do be mezaka for Erev Tavshilin, Tosas does point out here, Amar of Nachman Halacha Lemaisa, he says, Amar of Nachman Naktinan Echad Erev Tchumim, Echad Shituvim Avos Tzarech Lezakos. V'chein halacha, that's the halacha, that's what we paskin. V'chein pasuk b'shiltos v'parshat v'ayibishalach, d'kulam tzrichim lezakos, eruvei tchumim, v'chateres v'shutum avos, v'eruvei tafshilin as well requires being mezakeh. The Alpha Gav says Tosis, even though the Bayer of Nachman, eruvei tafshilin, my, even though the Gemara here, he asks the question, what's it in by eruv tafshilin? And Hamasik, we conclude Abai de lo Shmilei de Shmuel, de Shmilei lo Havi Mibailei, that the conclusion of the Gemara was clearly that you don't have to be Mezaka for Erev Tavshilin. Nonetheless, without explaining why, the practice is we do have to be Mezaka even for Erev Tavshilin. So it's very halach l'maisa. When you're making Erev Tavshilin in the house, and you're doing it for other people, certainly if there are guests coming over, what a person should do is really give it to someone else, who's not their wife or a child, and be Mezaka for everyone in the family, and for to rile out an Erev Tavshilin.
In all the cases, to be mezaka somebody else is like the Mishnah that you cannot, you cannot be mezaka yourself.
Exactly.
You have to get a third party to be mezaka.
Exactly.
Wow.
Okay, so Gemara now says, halfway down the Y lines, the Gemara says, Ahu, Torzina. What's a Torzina? Who's our Torzina? Rashi's our Torzina is Nachi Haya, Nanju. Mamona al Klei Zayin, he was in charge of the weapons. Hasuyin l'shmir sa'ir li'lachim al tzarim, he was in charge of the weapons in the city to defend the city. The Darbir, he lived in the city. So the Gemara says now, Hahu Torzina, this individual, the Havi Bishvavusei, the Rabbi Zeri, he was like the Shabbos Goy. It was a Jewish city, but he was the guy in charge, he was like the security. So he lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Zeri. And Amar Lei, Ogir Lan Rishuscha, please rent your property out to us so we can make a proper Erev. You have to do Schiris Nachri, Schiris Makam from Nachri. Lo Ogir Lo, he refused to rent his property out. He didn't know what kind of shady business they were trying to pull on him, so he refused to rent his property out. Also, the comment of Rabbi Zeira, they told Rabbi Zeira, Amrulei, Mahu Lemegir Medeveso. So he refuses, but could we ask his wife maybe? Could we rent rights from his wife? Amrulei, Rabbi Zeira says, Hachi Amr Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is of the opinion, Mishreit the Gavir Rab in the name of a great tzaddik, Humani, who was none other than Rabbi Chanina. Ishel Shel Adam, Mareves Shel Medaita. You actually can ask his wife, even though he is not aware of it, you're allowed to ask the wife and rent rights from her. That's the Eitzah. Similarly, the Gemara says, Hahu Tarzina, the security guard, Havi Bishvusei, the Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshaya, Amrilei, they said, Ogir Lan Rishuscha, please let us rent some of your property. Lo Ogir Lahu, he refused to. Also, the commander of Yehuda Bar Oshaya asked Rabbi Yehuda, Amrilei, Maulu Meger Midveso, can we rent property from his wife? Lo Havi Biyada, he didn't know the answer. Also, the commander of Masna, Lo Havi Biyada, Rav Masna didn't know the answer either. Also, the Kamid Rav Yehuda, Amalei Hachi Amar Shmuel, they told, reported to Rav Yehuda, we have a tradition that Shmuel, Isho, Shel Adam, Ma'areves, Shel Medaito, that you can actually rent property, rent rights from the wife, even though the husband doesn't know. So that's another way to do schiris makom. So Gemara asks the question, Meisive. Nashim she'irvu v'nishtatvu shlomi das ba'alem ein eruvin eruv v'ein shitufun shituf. The Brisa clearly states, if one tries to rent property from the wife, it actually doesn't work if the husband is unaware. So how can we have two stories above where we said you're allowed to rent property from the wife even though the husband doesn't know? So Gemara says, Lakasha, there is no contradiction. Ha, the asar, ha, de lo asar. Depends on whether or not they're going to prohibit the use in the mavoi. What that means is, if you look at Rashi, around seven lines up, Rashi says, ha, de asar, abnei mavoi, lo ba'inan daite. If their presence, they know their chatzar enters into the mavoi, and if they don't participate, that means the rest of the bnei mavoi cannot use the mavoi without their participation. In that case, you're allowed to rent property from the wife because otherwise you're stuck. Umasnishim, but delo aser, when the brayser says you may not use rent property from the wife, that's where her or their family's presence in the mavoi is not going to aser. How is that the case? We know the way it works with the mavoi. And every bnei chatzar must participate. If one chatzar doesn't participate, the whole mavoi is wrong. So how can it possibly be that there's a bnei chatzar in the mavoi that won't aser? So the Rashi explains here, it's where the chatzar has two adjacent mavos. It could go either way. If the only access is to one, so it asers. But if there's another way it could use, so just kind of close the door, you're not part of our mavoi, you're part of the chatzar, mavoi on the other side of the chatzar. In that case, they're not asering by living there, and you don't have to force them to participate. That's what Rashi says here. Kagon chatzar shebein shnei mavos v'regila imze v'lo imze, where she and the family is used to going out the other mavoi, even though they have an entrance to your mavoi, they're not going to ask it since they're not regularly using it. So again, if you're stuck, if the presence is going to their bnei chatzar asks your usage, so then you can rely on this leniency of renting from the wife shalom adaita. If the presence of the mavoi is not going to aser, then you cannot rely on the leniency and may not rent rights from the wife without the consent of the husband. And the Gemara proves this, that hachinami mistaver, last four lines of the Amud, this also makes a lot of sense, dim kain kasha d'shmuel d'shmuel. Otherwise, we have an internal contradiction within Shmuel Shita, because above, Shmuel clearly said, ishal sha'adam mareves shlomidaita. But here we have Damar Shmuel, echad mibnei mavoi, shiragil ishtatev im bnei mavoi, if you have a bnei mavoi that are regularly part of your shita mavos, and this Shabbos they don't, lo nishatef bnei mavoi nichnasan l'toch beiso v'notlin shitufin mimenu ba'karcho. They could take against his will ba'karcho. So how can you go ba'karcho? It must be the difference between ragil in shein ragil lo shmamina. Meaning, if they're part of your property regularly, so then you could force upon you. But if they're not part of your property regularly, so then you don't really need their participation. In which case, you could just lock them out and go ahead with the eruv and the shita mavos without their involvement.
This is Jew or not?
No, this is Jew right now. We're not talking the schiris makom. I guess it does make a difference at that point. It's a good point. The previous case was talking about renting from a non-Jew. This is talking about renting. This is talking about making a eruv with a Jew. But it sounds like the Gemara is a good point. The Gemara does equate the ability to do either schiris makom from a nachri and shita mavos from a Jew from the wife's angle when needed. Well, you're talking to the wife, yeah. Otherwise, it has to be that. The wife is aware of what's going on. It's when the husband doesn't know what's going on. So Gemara then says, last line here. So can we deduce from what we just said that the Gemara had presented to us that you could force yourself into the house in order to take items to create the shita mavos? So is that to claim that lema, mesai le, does this support the following statement? Kofen oso, lasos lechi, v'kori l'mavoi? You could force people living in the mavoi, bnei mavoi, to participate in building a lechi and building a korah. So just like we said above, that bnei mavoi nichnas in the toch base of a nolin shituv memenu about karcho, so you could go ahead and force a person to build a lechi and a korah. So the Gemara says there's a distinction to what we're talking about there and here. What does that mean? Shiny hasam to lecha mechitas. So we have to explain Rashi. Rashi doesn't make total sense according to the Rishonim, but we're going to try and understand Rashi nonetheless. Rashi says, "Shiny hasam deleka mechitzos." When that statement we just brought on the bottom there, that you're allowed to force a person to participate in the lechi and korah, that's a case deleka mechitzos. Rashi says, "Umavoi megula." The mavoi is exposed. V'hu ve'eno noach l'shomov. It's going to be unprotected. Nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, to my understanding. It just refers to a mavoi that's completely exposed to the outside. People like to live in a closed community, closed fences, closed walls. When there's an open area, people want to have some privacy. So you could force people living there, build a lechi in a korah, just for aesthetic purposes, for tznius purposes, nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. So that's when you can force them to participate in this tznius. But Hilchach kofenoso. But to force them to participate in an Erev to allow for carrion Shabbos, that one's not allowed to force them. So there is a difference. Now the Ritva and others ask the question, building a lechi and a korah is going to bring tznius? A lechi and korah is like a little beam. A korah is a little beam this way. That's not going to provide tznius. So it's unclear exactly what Rashi means by this. And there are some other explanations. There's a Tosos here, different yourselves. But that's just the Rashi at face value. Even more difficult is the very next line of the Gemara, where it says, Lishna Achrina mitzad shiny, from the side is different. Rashi doesn't even go, as it seems. Rashi doesn't explain. Some, to try to maintain the girsa, or somewhat of a girsa, they change the girsa. If there's a long Hagos Merab Ranchberg on the side here, some say it means rota shiny, if you want to versus if you don't want to. Others have different girsas. So this whole Gemara is a little bit tricky, what it means. But there seems to be a difference of Hilchos Shabbos, you can't enforce a person to participate in Erev, but some other area like security, protection, one might be able to. The Gemara now says, this next Gemara is a very interesting Gemara, a lot of lumdas here. We're not going to go through the lumdas, but we'll just read through the Gemara. The Gemara says, now two lines down, Itma. Rav Chia bar Ashi Amar, Rav, Osin Lechi Asherah, Reish Lakish Amar, Osin Korah Asherah. So we've discussed an Asherah tree in the past. Asherah tree is something that has Asher Bahana. So the din is the machlokas, at least not machlokas, but one opinion says you could use an asherah tree to create a lechi, and Reish Lakish says you could use an asherah tree to create a korah. So Rashi explained, first we'll finish the Gemara, then we'll go to the Rashi. The Gemara explains that man damar korah, the one who allows you to use an asherah tree to build a korah, kol shekein lechi, certainly you're able to build a lechi, and Rashi explained what's the lechi. Kol shekein lechi, dein lo shir l'rachbo v'ovya. That when it comes to a lechi, korah requires more of a shir than a lechi. They both require shirim, but lechi requires, a korah requires more of a shir. It has to be wider, has to be able to wide enough to hold a brick. A lechi could be very, very, very tiny. So if you allow a korah, which requires a more substantial shir, to be made of an asherah tree, and the asherah tree, the din, the chiddush is because asherah tree is a kisarv dami, it's supposed to be burnt. So since it's supposed to be burnt, even though it's not actually burnt, but it's supposed to be burnt, one might have thought it shouldn't work for the korah, so the kamashma it works for the korah, and kol shekein it works for the lechi. However, the one who holds the opposite, man damar lechi, you could use an asher tree for lechi, maybe only by lechi that works because the shir of a lechi is very, very small. About korah, to use a korah, the asher tree for korah, which requires a larger shir, maybe that wouldn't work. Lo, ksutse mechta shira, which is a way of saying that the shir is broken up, it's disintegrated, whereby since you have to burn it, we view it now as being kesarv dami, and it doesn't work. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says about korah, tricha tefach lekabel ariach ubria kedei lekabel ariach, has to be wide enough, has to be strong enough to hold the brick. V'haya shera came in the bay sreifa, since you have to burn anything that's from a shera tree, v'ashrem tishrefun be'esh, the pasuk says, shi'ura lav shiruhu, the shir is not considered a halachic shir, the kisrufa dami is considered as if it's burnt already, and although it might work for a lechi, this opinion would hold, it would not work for a korah. So this is a discussion that comes up in many, many areas of Shas. It's a very lamdasha piece, but look at Tosas just for a few other areas, how he connects it to other places in Shas. So Tosas writes, about korah, ksuse mechtas shi'ura. Tosas writes, v'yafagav de lechi nami bar yishir. So what do you mean? If a korah, we said this pin, a korah doesn't work, it has to be burnt. So the lechi also requires a shear. Granted, the shear is not as much as a korah, but it still requires a shear. So he says, afagav de lechi nami bar yishir, gova, v'gam rocha ev mashir. It has to be at least something, some level of height, some width to it. Mikomakum came into Lobai Elashir Zuta Lo Hachmirbo, since it only requires a little bit of a shear, so then it doesn't require, there's no such chumra. Now I believe, I didn't have a chance to look at this, I think there's a briskarov or Chaim talks about this Tosos and the Ramam. I believe he makes a chilip between a korah and a lechi. I could make making this up. But the difference is because a korah, it has a din of a mechitza. When it comes to mechitza, you have to really be a wall, a halachic wall. As opposed to lechi is more of a heker ba'alma, where it doesn't require actual shir, but has to just be recognizable. The mice, I can recognize it, even though there's no halachic shir, but something that's recognizable to outside. So I think that's part of the lamdash chilik that goes on here, but again, there's a discussion in either the Brisker Rav or Rav Chaim on this sugya here. Tosfos writes further, skip a few lines, go to where Tosfos writes, "V'ein lahak," just don't ask me a question, "mehadi paslinan lulav shel asheira, afil b'yamta sheni, demashma dekaman delase dame," that by a lulav, on the second day of Yom Tov, even though there are a number of kulas by the second day of Yom Tov, but still, if you have a lulav from an asherah tree, that does not work. You need a shear of a few tefachim for the lulav, for four tefachim for the lulav, and it's not going to work. Why not? So how come it works by a lechi, by a lulav? So Gemara says, since the gavi lulav shel mitzvah hichmir, since it's for a mitzvah purposes, they're more machmir. A lechi and kor is not a mitzvah; it's just to be matir something. But when it comes to mitzvah, the shear is more significant, and therefore there's a chilik between a mitzvah versus a matir. One more, the end of Tosas. Tosas writes further, one area that relates to our sugiz, vim tomar, dimachshirin le'el sulam shel asherah. We allowed one to use a ladder made from an asherah tree. We said a sulam had to be four tefachim wide, so that's a shear that's necessary to create a Pesach. So why don't we say ketutze mechtas shi'ura? So Tosas writes, "V'omari dehasam chashiv Pesach came into chazi la'aliyah ilav isura dashera." Havakara hitzicha cham shira shel chashivus. So somehow, when it came to the sulam, it wasn't about a shiv chashivas. We're just trying to make an entranceway. You have a Pesach. Lamaisa, you can't use a ladder because there's an isser that prevents you from using it. But Lamaisa, there's a Pesach, there's an access point that's there. You're not trying to create a halachic reality. You're trying to create a reality. The reality is there's a ladder there for me to go over. That's a reality, not a halachic reality. But to create a halachic reality that the korah is going to be a wall, that the lechi is going to be a wall, that's a halachic reality that doesn't actually exist. So to make that halachic reality, that requires a real halachic shir, and asherah would be possible. Okay, that's a little tip of the iceberg of this massive sugya of the asherah tree in various halachas throughout Shas. So now the new Mishnah tells us, Nismai ta'ochel ha-mosif u-mezakeh. Let's say the food that was set aside for shita mevos gets smaller than the proper shear. So what you have to do is you have to add on to it, and then you're mezakeh for everyone in the area. Vein tarach le'odia. In other words, if I have a basket of grapes, and the grapes are being used for the shita mevos, and it goes beneath the shear that I need, so I just add grapes to it, I don't have to let everyone know, because I used grapes before, I'm using grapes now, I'm just mezakeh for everyone, and there's no need to report that I'm adding more food to it. No, before Shabbos. Nisos Falem, let's say more people move into the neighborhood, so now I need to add more fruit because there's not enough shear for each person in the neighborhood, so I'm adding more grapes to the pile. Mizaka, the Tarach Leodia. Here I have to be Mizaka as well, because I'm being Mizaka for other people, but I also have to let everyone know as well that making an error, because since we're adding more people, everyone has to be aware of who's going to be involved in the error at this point. The Gemara is going to discuss it. Not today, but maybe today, I don't remember. So either way, we have to let everyone know when you're adding more onto the grapes. Not to, again, if it's the shear went down, you're bringing it back to the amount, that's fine. But to add onto the shear, because you're adding onto the people living there, that requires letting people know. So hakama hu shiur, and how much do you need? So the Mishnah says, bezman shehen merubin, when there's so many people living in the neighborhood, then it's enough. Mazon shesu dos lekulam, it's enough to have two meals, and that covers everyone. It could be 50, 100, 3,000 people. Two meals is enough to cover everyone else. Bizman shein muatim, when there are small amounts of people living in the area. Kri gogeres l'chalecha b'yachad, you need a gogeres for each person. So that's the shiur. But once you hit a certain number, which we'll see in a second, it's 18 people, because there are 18 grogos and two shtei sudos. Once you hit 18 people, so now shtei sudos covers as many people that are going to be in the area. So Gemara then says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, b'met d'var marmurim, when is this all true? All b'tchias erev, when you're talking about to create the initial erev in the beginning. Aval b'shiyari eruv kol shiur. Once you start off with the proper shiur necessary, whether it's 12 grogros, whether it's 2 sudos, whatever the amount might be, as long as something's left over after, the food started to decay, animals started eating it, as long as there's something left over at the end, that still works. You can still hold on to the kol shiur at the end even. So the Mishnah then says, v'lo amru la'ari b'chatzeros ela kadeshol l'shakeach, Esatinokos. So here Rashi just points out here, when it comes to making Erev Chatzeros in the context of a Shituv Mevos, when there's a Shituv Mevos, it seems you don't also need an Erev Chatzeros halachically, but they said you should make an Erev Chatzeros anyways so that the children should be aware of what's going on, so they should not forget the concept of an Erev. So that's just the last line, which you saw quoted in the Gemara before. So Gemara now wants to know the beginning of the Mishnah, which said about being the smite from the shear and then having to add on. B'mayaskinan, what exactly is that case where it's nismite? Just look at Rashi. Rashi says, B'mayaskinan, dekatani b'nismite ein tzarach leodia. When the shear goes below the amount and you have to add on, so you don't have to let everybody know that you're doing this. But if, let's say, not only this might, but let's say it completely gets wiped out, meaning there's no food left. You go back, there's a bucket, and there are no grapes left, so then you have to start from the beginning. That case, you do have to let people know. But if it's only this might, so then you don't have to let people know. So the Gemara wants to know, but my asking, what's the case here? Elaim, if you're going to tell me, b'min echad, it's the same exact min, meaning I start off with the grapes, and now I'm adding grapes again. So my iria nismait, why only in the case when the shear goes lower, but you still have some grapes left over, I don't have to let people know. Afilu kalanami, even if the grapes get completely wiped out, and I'm putting, you know, starting new fresh grapes, and now I still don't have to tell people, because I'm using the same exact species as before. They're not going to be makbid what I'm using here. So even if it's a kala lagamre, I could use the same exact min without letting people know. Ella, it must be bishnei min, if I'm using two different types of fruits. So I start off with grapes, and now they went below the shear. So now I'm adding oranges, let's say. So then, bishnei minim, then afilu nismait nami lo. Then, if the shear goes below, if I have less grapes than I had needed initially, so I'm now adding oranges, so I would actually have to let people know that I'm using a different min now. As the Braisa says, the Tanya, kala ha'ocha mimin echad, ein tzarech l'odia, mibeze minim tzarech l'odia. That if you finish using the fruit, so if you're using the same exact min, you don't have to let people know. But if you're using two different minim, you do have to let people know. So the Gemara says, so what's exactly the case here? So even though the Gemara here says kala, the Braisa says kala, Rashi points out the havamina here is not only by kala, but even if it's nismait. In other words, if the shear is nismait and you're using shnei minim, you do have to let everybody know that you're using a different type of fruit to fill the shear. So what's the din here? The Gemara is going to explain as follows. You could explain the braisa either talking about the same exact type of food, or you could explain the braisa as talking about two different foods. Meaning, when it says in the Mishnah nismait, it doesn't mean to lessen. It means nismatmate, where it's mamish obliterated, where it's nothing left anymore. So we learn from the Mishnah as follows. When the same min you're trying to replace with grapes, when there's nothing left at all, you're starting all the way from the beginning, then you have to let everybody know, tzarech lohodia. That's what's going on. And then, if it's a case of, I'm sorry, one second here. In that case, you don't have to let everybody know. I'm saying, what it says in the Mishnah, when nismait means nismatate, and you're using the same exact min, you don't have to let everybody know. But since you're using the same exact min, there's no need to let anybody know, even when it goes down to zero. Ibaisem, alternatively, we're talking about a case of mishnei minim, kala shayni. We're talking about two different minim, that even though normally when you have to use less, you don't have to tell the person if you're using a different min, but when there's nothing left that goes back to the bottom, there's nothing left in the barrel, the chavis, and you're using now oranges instead, that case is different, in which case you would have to tell everybody that you are now starting all over again. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Ibaisem, mishnei minim, v'davka nakit nismait, the Mishnah chose just nismait, v'dekashcha mibraisa, the braisa which said kala shayni, the braisa kala davka nakit. In other words, if I start with grapes, and I have some grapes left over, but I want to add oranges to the grapes, I don't have to let anybody know. That's nismait to the Mishnah. But the Braisa which says kala, when there are no grapes left, and now I want to replace it with oranges only, then I need to be tzarech l'odia. I need to let everybody know that I'm using oranges instead of grapes. So the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Nisosva Alein Mosva Mazaka. So if there are more people move into the area, you have to add on to the Eruv to cover the shear for each person, and you have to let everybody know in the Mavoi, in the Chatzir. So Amar Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Chisda, Zos Ameris, this we learn from the Mishnah, that Chalukin Alav Chavei Rav Al Rabbi Yehuda. The friend of Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah, argues on the Das Yachad of Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, this is a Mishnah that we saw earlier in the Masechta, that the Tanan Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bamed Vamar Mu'um, when is it all true? Be'eruvei to Chumim, when is what true? When do you need Das, says Rashi? You need Das when it comes to Erev Tchum. Why do you need Das when it comes to Tchum? Rashi explains, because you can't make a Tchum against my will. Because remember, every time you make a Tchum, it's a positive and a negative. Helps me this way, but I lose out in that direction. So you think you're doing me a Tova going to the east, I might want to go to the west. So you can't make an Erev Tchum against a person's will. But that's only by Erev Tchum. Aval says the Mishnah by Rabbi Yehuda, Be'eruvei Chatzeros, to my ability to carry my chatzer and adjacent chatzeros, that's only for a benefit. That's only enough for me. So Rabbi Yehuda says, then you're allowed to be ma'arvin bein ledas, bein shlo ledas. So although that's true of the of Rabbi Yehuda by Erev Chatzeres, our Mishnah says, Tzarach Leodia, you have to let people know. They need to be aware even for Erev Chatzeres. So that's Machlokas between our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda, whether by Erev Chatzeres they have to be aware or even not aware would work. So Pshita, of course, the Chalukin. It's obvious. You don't have to tell me that. It's understood that everyone knew Mishnayos. So I put this Mishnah together in Dapeh, with the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, whoever else appears in the Masechta. I understand, there's a Machlokas. Why does the Gemara present, oh, this is a Machlokas between the Rabbi Yehuda here and the Tanakhama here. We know that's a Machlokas. So the Gemara tells you the idea is, but how the same, what would I have thought, Hani Mili B'chatzer Shebein Shnei Mavos. Maybe when the Tanakhama was Machmer, it was when the Chatzer was wedged between two different Mavos. So if you make an Erev Chatzeres or a Shita Mavos with one Mavoi, he's locked out from the other Mavoi. So maybe it will actually be detrimental to him. He wants to choose the other Mavoi. So that's when we said, don't do it Shlomi Das. But if it's a case of a Chatzer, Shemavi Echad, a Malo. When there's one Chatzer, only goes to one Mavoi, there's only one direction. There's only for him to benefit. So even Shlomi Das, maybe it should work even for the Tanakhama, because there he has only what to benefit. Kamash Malan, that even in that case, even though there's a Chatzer, has only one Mavoi to choose from, and you would imagine that it would only be for his benefit, still nonetheless, the Tanakhama holds, you still need his Das in order to create the Erev Chatzeres. So now the Gemara concludes about the shear of the Mavoi, Kamahu Shiro V'chulo, the Mishnah had said there has to be a Grogeris per each person in the Bnei Chatzer, in the Bnei Mavoi. So Kamahu, Merubin, what's considered a lot of people? At what point do we say, okay, no more collecting Grogeris per person, let's just do Shtei Sudos, that will cover everybody. What's the threshold? I already told you 18. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shmon Asrei, Bnei Adam, the 18 people. So Gemara asks the question, Shmon Asrei V'sulo, only 18? Meaning at 18 you have Shtei two Sudos. Implying by 19 and 20, you have to go back to collecting a Grogeris for each person. That's obviously not what it means. Ema, Mishmon Asrei V'elech. What it means is once you hit 18 and above 18, at that point it's enough to just collect Shtei Sudos, and you've created your Erev Chatzeros. So Gemara says, Umay Shmon Esrei Denakar. What's the 18 that he chose? So Amar of Yitzchak, Rei Rav Yehuda, Lididim, Mefar Shalimino, was explained to me, the Abba, Kol She'ilu Mechalko, Lemazon She'i Sudos B'neim. If you split the two Sudos amongst the people living there, Ve'ein Magas Grogeres, L'chalechad V'echad, and you don't have a Grogeres for each person, Hein Hein Merubim, V'sagi B'mazon She'i Sudos. In other words, that the way the math is being, it's pretty simple, but just it's being presented in a strange way here, that if you take the Shtei Sudos is 18 grogeres, it's the same exact shear. So if I have 18 people there, I could take Shtei Sudos and each person gets a grogeres. But if I get to a certain point where I split up Shtei Sudos and there's not enough of a grogeres, I mean there's less than grogeres, that means we're going to 19 people and above, all that means is you've hit the threshold that you need and it's enough to have Shtei Sudos, no need to collect anymore. So let's read that inside the Gemara one more time. Kol she'ilu mechalko lemazon she'sudos b'neim. If you were to divide the she'sudos amongst the people living there, vein magas grogeres chalech v'echad. There's not enough to get a grogeres for each person, but there's less than that. That means you've reached the point, hein hein merubim, that's where you've gotten to the point of a lot of people there. V'sagi v'mazon she'sudos, you've now reached a quota of she'sudos, the ilo, if if you could split she'sudos, and there's more than a grogeres per person, that's hein hein muatim ninu, that's considered a small amount of people living there, and you actually don't need a she'sudos, it's enough to collect 12 grogeres, whatever is going to be able to collect a grogeres per party. And we learn from this, v'agav orche, we can learn the shir, that kamash malan, what's the shir of she'sudos, havin shmon esrei grogeres, that's the shir of she'sudos. Okay, we will stop here, Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow, and everyone have a wonderful day.